Now then, if there's anything that, any one thing that's established beyond doubt in the Word of God, for you and me, it is the importance of faith. That's why I've chosen this subject today. A study of faith, the importance of faith, or just the word faith. Now, I read the text. You don't need to turn to it, but if you're taking notes, Hebrews 11:6, which says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Not difficult, impossible. Got to have faith. And four times the scripture says the just shall live by faith. It's in Habakkuk, it's in Romans, it's in Galatians, it's here in Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. And can anything be clearer than the words of our Lord when he had risen from the grave and gathered his apostles about him, and he said, now all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. You go and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Can anything be clearer than that? The importance of faith. And if I get into Romans 4, I'm not going to turn over there, because if I get there, I won't get out. Romans 4, Abraham. What shall we say? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. The sum and substance of it is Abraham believed God. He believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham, what are you going to say about Abraham? Sum up the life of Abraham, a man great like Abraham, the father of believers everywhere, every generation, every nationality. What are you going to say about him? Three words, Abraham believed God. That's his life story. And he was persuaded that what God had promised God would do, and that was counted to him for righteousness. His holiness is in his faith. And in Luke 17:5, don't turn to that, jot it down, the disciples looked at our Lord one day and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Now I ask myself and I ask you the question that our Lord asked that father of the sick boy. He said, do you believe? Do you believe? All things are possible to them that believe. Now I'm going to kill a fly. I need my son-in-law up here. I got him, Bob. I'm batting 1,000. This is amazing. I said this years ago, but if there's one fly in the house, he'll come up here. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. I know all of you want me to turn that handkerchief around where I hit that fly. And I want everything clear while we talk about faith. I don't want you to think about anything else. So I got the clean side out, Colin. All right. The importance, so I asked this question. I asked myself this. Dost thou believe? All things are possible to them that believe. All things. All right, here we go. The first question is, what is faith? What is faith? And I will ask you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, I think, and I'm not the only one that thinks this, Charles Spurgeon felt like this was the best definition of faith, single definition of faith to be found in the Scriptures. He went over several, and he came down to this one. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, the Apostle Paul speaking here, and he said in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom. That's not I know what I believe. I know when I believe. I know whom. That's the knowledge of Christ, who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. I know whom I have believed. That's knowledge. You can't trust an unrevealed Savior. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know who he is. I know where he came from. I know what he came to do. I know what he did. And I know where he is now. I know whom. All right, secondly. And I'm persuaded, confident, that he's able. He is able. I'm confident beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's not only willing, but he's able. He's able to keep. And that word is used through the Bible so many times too. He's able. Abraham believed that he was able to do all that he promised. He said he was able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. He said he's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like his own. And he's able to keep us from falling. He's able. You believe he's able? He's able. I'm confident. All right, thirdly, to keep that which I've committed to him. Now listen to me a moment. Faith is not just to believe about our Lord. It's to believe him. That's right. It's not just to acknowledge him, his existence, acknowledge his power. How about everybody will say, I heard a preacher this morning say on television, he said, God's on the throne, God's almighty, God's able to save anybody, God's able to heal anybody, God's able, he went on, and he stopped and said, if you'll let him. Well, see, a lot of people, faith is not to acknowledge his power. Faith is to rely upon it and trust him. I know there can be no faith without knowledge. And I know there can be no faith without confidence. But I do know there can be knowledge and confidence without committal. Is that right, Bob? I know there can be no faith without knowledge. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which what? I've committed to him. Now, there's your faith. James, that's what James deals with. Faith justifies the soul. But that committal justifies the faith. That surrender justifies the faith. That trust, that reliance, that commitment, that's what justifies the faith. That's the reason Paul said to the Galatians, I travail till Christ be formed in you. In you. So to believe Christ is to come to him. I mean, actually, come to Christ. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. In reference to our Lord Jesus, it's like Ruth's testimony. She said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to keep from following after thee. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people are my people. Where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, that's where I'm buried. That's commitment, isn't it? Well, that's faith in Christ, coming to Christ. To believe Christ is to trust him, to lean upon him, to rest upon him. To believe Christ is to continue to cleave to him, continue to rest upon him. Here's a man whose boat has overturned out in a terrible storm on the large lake, and the boat sinks, and he's there to the mercy of the waves except for one large board, one large plank. How will he cleave to it? How long will he cleave to it? I'll tell you how you'll cleave to it and how long you cleave to it till his feet touch the ground and he walks out of that lake. And that's how we'll cleave to Christ and rely on Christ and trust Christ and believe Christ till we're safe on that other side. To come to Christ, to trust Christ, to continue to trust him, to cleave to him, to receive him. You see, David Clarkson said this, faith is the hand of the soul that receives the gift of God. Our Lord said to the woman at the well, if thou knewest who said unto you, give me a drink, you'd ask of me, and I'd give you living water. For faith is the hand that receives the living water. Faith is the arm of the soul that embraces Christ. Song of Solomon, she said, I held him and would not let him go. Faith is the eye of the soul that looks to Christ like the Israelites looked to the serpent on the pole. Faith is the mouth of the soul that eats his flesh and drinks his blood. Faith is the lips of the soul that kisses the Son. The hymn writer said, out of my bondage, my sorrow and night, Jesus, I come to thee. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, into thy wealth, out of my sin, into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. That's faith. So I know it's knowledge. I know whom I have believed, and I've preached the gospel of Christ here so many times, so often, other men have. And you know of whom we speak, don't you? And secondly, you're confident of his power to save, aren't you? Totally confident. Well, have you committed? That's it. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Shepherd. That's what I'm saying. There can be knowledge and confidence with no committal. I know there can be no committal without knowledge and confidence. I know that. But there has to be a submission. Come unto me. I know God enables us. I know it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I know all that. But I'll tell you this. Those who come to Christ, they come so lovingly and so willingly as if they're doing it all on their own. That's right, Colin. They do. They come so lovingly, so willingly, so deliberately. They come as if they did it all by themselves. One day our Lord said to his disciples, after all these people went away, they said, would you also go? And they said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal. I like what John Newton said. Well, Lord, if I never have believed you before, I believe you right now. All right, secondly. Now, it's important in any message or study on faith to make much of the object of faith. My first point was, what is faith? Secondly, the object of faith. Now, I know in general there are things which can be called objects of faith. Now, stay with me. You say there's one object of faith. I know that. But in general, there's several objects of faith. You believe the Word of God, don't you? That's an object of faith. The Word of God is a saving faith, believes the Word of God. I believe the histories. I believe the promises. I believe the pictures. I believe the threats. I believe the Word of God. Yes, I do. Secondly, I believe the mercy of God. The mercy of God is an object of faith. David said, Lord, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness. He said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. So that's an object of faith. Also, the promises of God. They're called precious promises. Abraham believed what God had promised he could do. So that's an object of faith. The Word of God, the mercy of God, the promises of God. But the grand and glorious and worthy, single, unexplainable, unspeakable object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Now, note carefully. Please note this very carefully. This helped me so much when I found this. And it's not just the person of Christ as God, but it's the person of Christ as the Redeemer, the God-man. My object of faith, I hear people say, well, I believe in God. Well, I have to be careful here now, but that won't save. Is that wrong to say that? Saul of Tarsus believed in God. Nicodemus believed in God. So, Jesus Christ is God. Is he not? He's God. By him all things were made that are made. Now listen to me. So my object of faith is not just Jesus as God, but Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Savior, Jesus Christ the Mediator, Jesus Christ the Redeemer. That's how I believe on him. Jehovah, God my Savior. In other words, I believe him as my surety, my everlasting priest, my representative. Jesus Christ became a man. He's my representative. He's my brother, made like unto his brethren. He's my righteousness. I have none of my own. No matter how hard I work, I can't secure one. But he came down here and in the flesh, obeyed the law, wrought out a perfect holiness, a perfect righteousness, the God-man, and he's my righteousness. He's my sin offering. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So my object of faith is not just God, is not just the mercy of God, but it's the God and his mercy in Christ Jesus, who enables God to be both just and justified. Christ is my atonement. Jesus, my blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds, in these arrayed with joy, shall I lift up my head. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Who is he? Leave on, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. How can he support me? He has whereof to offer. He's a faithful high priest, a merciful and faithful high priest. It became him to be made like unto his brethren that he could be a merciful, faithful high priest for us in things pertaining to God. That's how I've got to believe on him. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wings. Listen carefully to me. What is faith? Knowledge. Who is he? Confidence. Committal. But that knowledge, that object of faith, I know whom I have believed. I know whom. Who do you believe? Well, I believe in God. The devils believe in God and tremble. Isn't that right? The devils believe in God. I believe in God too. Man, the fool has said no God. But the object of saving faith, that object of saving faith that gives us confidence and calls for that committal, is that God-man, one with God and one with men. The God-man who came to this earth, the second Adam, as in Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. That's what I'm saying, and that's so vital. The Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is truth, and that we might be in him that is truth. And this is life. This is salvation. This is eternal life. This is a knowledge of God. This is it. He that hath the Son hath life. You with me? That's so very, very important. I hope you do lay hold of that. It's just not, that's the reason a man must hear the gospel to be saved, is because the gospel is concerning his Son. Now watch it. Who was made of the seed of David and declared to be the Son of God. That's the Gospels concerning that person. And that's the one I know. This is the record. God has given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. All right, thirdly, how does God ordinarily work faith in a sinner's heart? How does God ordinarily work faith? Now remember that God will work as he will, when he will, with whom he will. He can't be tied to one track. I know that. But generally, ordinarily, how does God work in a sinner's heart? Well, ordinarily, people whom God saves, number one, he'll convict them of sin. Christ said he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save the lost. And a man must discover that he's a sinner before he'll sue for mercy, isn't that right? Everybody who came to Christ had one thing in common. They needed him. They needed him. And he was the only one who could help them. Back then, all who came to him needed him. Desperately needed him. So that's the first thing, to discover who we are. Who we are. Secondly, God ordinarily, working faith, will shut a person up to his mercy, closing every other door of hope. He said, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. He takes that away from us. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. He takes that away from us. He said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. He takes that away from us. He says, in the flesh no man can please God. He takes that away from us. We're shut up to Christ. We're shut up to mercy. Like that woman with the issue of blood. She'd tried many things of many physicians and was no better. She said, well, if I can get to him. And then thirdly, when God shows us who we are and what we are and shuts us up to his sovereign mercy, like the leper who said, if you will, you can make me clean, then he's pleased to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ and shows us the glory and excellency of Christ. I hope you'll read that little article I have in the bulletin this morning about the robe. Did you read that? Did you read that? If you had a friend who was planning to go before the king in his dirty, ragged, offensive robe, and you knew that he'd be forever rejected, wouldn't you warn him? Suppose, too, that you knew where he could secure absolutely free a beautiful, spotless robe with which the king would not only be satisfied, but one which he provided. Would you not tell him? That's good news. But which robe would you talk the most about? The offensive garment or the beautiful one the king provides? Which one would you talk most about? Boy, you got a scroungy robe on there. That just won't do. Show him something better. Boy, that thing stinks. He may be aware of it, but he hadn't seen anything to improve on it yet. I would think that the more he heard about the king's robe, the more he'd be aware of, made aware of the glory of the king's robe, the more he'd be made aware of his offensive robe. Don't you think so? And that's what the Lord shows us, the glory and beauty of Christ. I tell you that the necessity of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, the certainty of Christ's work. Oh, the more you see of him, the more shoddy these things that other men trust, like church membership or good deeds or baptism or praying through or experiences or sprinkling when I was a baby or confirmation. You know, those things, as you talk about them and look at them and look at your experience, those things may generate just a little bit of interest, a little bit of confidence, a little bit of pride, you know. But boy, when you look on his glory, those things just fade away. They're not even toys. That's right, they're not even toys. They're frivolous, foolish things. They're just, And that's what God shows us. When he brings a man to see what he is and his inability, he keeps showing him the beauty of Christ, the excellence of Christ, who he is, his redemptive work, the necessity of Christ, what he did, why he did it, the sufficiency of Christ, where he is now. And you know, that man continues. God continues to reveal Christ to that man. Just keeps on revealing Christ and keeps on making him more precious. Now, here's the fourth thing. The fourth thing, the support of saving faith. Now, this is an important point right here. An important point, the support of saving faith. And I've done this so many times, and it's true. It's not, you know, we don't go to the sixth grade till we finish the fifth grade. But so often we generally just say, well, the foundation of faith, the support of faith is the Word of God. And it is. No question about it. This is absolutely true. But to be more specific, the greatest strength and support of faith, and it can't be separated from the Word of God, I know that. The greatest strength and support of faith is the character and attributes of God. Now let me show you that. Who God is gives me confidence in God's promises, who He is. Now watch this. I'm saying the support of faith, the strong confidence, foundation, support of faith is who He is. Number one, He's Almighty. And Abraham believed God and fully persuaded because He's Almighty. What He said, what He promised, He could do. What was Abraham resting in? In His promise, yes, but in His power. His promise ain't worth a plug nickel without His power. That's right. His promise means nothing without His power. And that's the reason that today's gospel is impotent. They got an impotent God. I couldn't believe what these fellows are saying. God can and He will if you let Him. If I've got to let Him, I don't believe He can. Abraham believed that what God promised, God could do because who God is. He's Almighty. All right, secondly, God's just. You believe God's just? I know He is. And if He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not, being just and holy, freely give us all things in Christ? Now, what's your hope? I tell you this, if Jesus Christ died for my sins, if the Son of God bore my sins in His body on the tree, I'm a saved man because God's just. I wouldn't trust me or you in that position not one second because you might fall out with me and take it all away from me. But God is holy and just and unchangeable. That's right. He's going to do right. And He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and find out who that all is now, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? God's just. That's the support of my faith. He says all these things, and He gave Christ to secure these things. What promise do I have that He'll fulfill these things? He's just. That's my assurance. And thirdly, He's merciful. He just delights to show mercy. Now, we're not very loving and we're not very merciful. But I'll tell you this. I tell you this. That's what David said in Psalm 130. He said, Lord, if You should mark iniquity, who would stand? But there's mercy with Thee. There's forgiveness with Thee. That Thou mightest be feared. The Lord delights to show mercy. You find me, and people, I don't know why we say, well, I believe God and I trust God, but I'm just so wicked. We measure our ability to forgive. We measure His ability to forgive by ours. But you find me the raggedest, dirtiest, rottenest, sinfulest, fallen mass of flesh. And my God is able and willing and delights to lift the beggar from the dunghill. He delights to do that. He takes great pleasure and joy in forgiving.
And that's the way a believer is, too. A believer can find some little ragamuffin in the gutter, and he just delights to wash him and cleanse him and feed him, don't you? Well, wouldn't you just delight to lift up that little varmint and put your arms around him and kiss him and cleanse him and dress him up, make somebody out of him, wouldn't you? My God loves to do that. He delights to do that. He absolutely delights to show mercy. God's not reluctant to show mercy. You don't have to beg too long. One of my children came to me and put his arm around me and said, "I'm sorry I said what I said and did what I did." Boy, forget it. Well, if God, my God's better than that. He forgets it too. Yeah, all right. He's unchangeable. He said, "I'm the Lord. I change not." Here's what I'm saying, Cecil. The foundation of faith, I know in general it's the Word of God. But His Word packs its power because of His character. He's almighty, He's just, He's merciful, and He can't change. The gifts and calling of God are without change. He said, "I'm the Lord, I change not. If I said it to you, I'll do it." He can't change. "If I promised it, I'll give it." He's keeping covenant mercies with thousands. He cannot and will not change. That's right. That's the only reason. He said, "That's the reason you sons of Jacob are not consumed, because I don't change. You change." Oh, we do, don't we? But He doesn't. And then, fifthly, He's omniscient. He knows our hearts. Folks around us, they know our words. And sometimes we're embarrassed by those. A lot of sometimes. Most of the time, folks around us see us fly off the handle. They see us. But Peter sat there with his Lord around that fire. And he appealed one thing. He said, "Lord, You know all things. You know I love You. And we're going to leave it right there." And he did know it too. And that's what I mean. You know, you can walk the aisle, shake the hand, go in the pool, get your name on the roll, pop off, read Bibles, stick books on your shelves and all that, and impress a whole lot of people. But God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. And that which is highly esteemed among men don't mount a hill of beans to God. He looks on the heart. And that's my confidence. He knows I believe. I don't have anybody else to believe. He knows I know who I am. And He knows I know who He is. And He knows that I know that He's my only hope. And He knows that I'm trusting Him. And that's all that matters. And last of all, He's faithful. I want you to turn to Habakkuk. I'll give you a few minutes to find it, because it's going to take me a while, too. We get over these Old Testament books, and they're small, and we may recite them, but it's sometimes hard to find. Habakkuk chapter 3. Watch this. This I love. You might want to put this on your refrigerator, you ladies that have those little reminders on the refrigerator. Habakkuk 3. And I'm telling you, this is good. You read verse 17. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive tree shall fail, no figs, no grapes, no olive oil, and the fields yield no meat, no corn, no wheat, no barley, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, no cattle, no sheep, no horses, no oxen, no herd in the stalls." That's kind of low, isn't it? "Yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength, and He will, in His own time, make my feet like hinds' feet. He'll make me to walk upon high places in his own time. He's faithful. David believed that. When he came to die, he said, well, the Lord's made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is my salvation. This is my desire. Think about that. What is faith? 2 Timothy 1:12. What's the object of faith? Not just God. And yet it is. But the God-man in all his person and work. How does God work faith? He reveals Christ. And what's the foundation of faith? Word of God. Yes. But I'll tell you what this word got behind it. Got the character of an almighty God who is almighty, just, unchangeable, merciful, faithful in all things. Trust him.